We want to come to the Word of God this afternoon. We're coming to Genesis chapter 28. I want to talk about a turning point this afternoon, a turning point. Genesis 28, we're coming to look at a well-known story concerning Jacob and, of course, Jacob's ladder. And we find it in Genesis chapter 28. We'll read from verse number 10 just to get the background here this afternoon. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had set up for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And we do trust that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts here this afternoon. And as I've said, we can have many turning points in our lives. We go through life and things will happen, and after that things will never be the same. Sometimes it can be a job. We change our employment, or perhaps we begin to work for the first time, and really that sets the course of our life. It becomes a turning point in our lives. Then, of course, is marriage. What a turning point marriage can be. We find someone, we fall in love, and then we begin to live our life with him or her, and how we begin indeed with that major turning point of marriage, and really things are never the same after that. Sometimes it can be moving house. We move to a new area. We can even sometimes move to a different country, and that moving can be a turning point in our lives. Then, of course, children come along into our home, and again, that marks a turning point in our lives. There are many turning points that we can encounter day by day. When we think of spiritual situations, there can be those turning points. We read in Scripture of a lady called Lydia. She had been at a prayer meeting. She wasn't saved. She had been at the meeting. And we read that the Lord opened her heart, and she was never the same. And that encounter with the Lord was a turning point for her. When we get into the Old Testament, we can read about the likes of Moses. Remember Moses, when he saw the bush that was burning and yet it wasn't consumed? You know, that was a turning point for Moses. He would never be the same again. My turning point, spiritually speaking, was the 12th of October, 1986, when, under conviction of sin, I accepted Christ as my own and personal Savior. Believers can have turning points in their lives. Remember Isaiah the prophet, in the year that King Uzziah died, in Isaiah chapter 6, you know, everything had changed. Isaiah was concerned about the future, but he got a vision of the Lord. He said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. He got a vision of the Lord, and he never was the same again. You see, no matter who sits in Stormont, no matter who is in number 10, our God ultimately is on the throne. And he is the one that is in control of everything. We can have turning points in our lives. Paul, or Saul as he was known of then, he had a major turning point in his life. He was on the road to Damascus. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He was against Christ. He was against the gospel. He was against the church. He was against Christians. He wanted to put them in prison. He didn't care if they were stoned to death. He was happy for Stephen to be stoned to death. But God stepped into his life. He had that Damascus road experience, and he was never the same again. I wonder Could this afternoon be a turning point in your life? Up until this point, you've been traveling on the road to a lost eternity. Up until this point, you have been, as the Bible talks about, those without hope and those without God. And this afternoon could be a major turning point in your life. Here we read about a man called Jacob. His life was about to change, and to change forever. The Lord had something for Jacob to do. We read in verse number 14, "In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." He was going to be a blessing. He received a wonderful promise from God. "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest." He went on to say, "I will not leave thee." Isn't that a wonderful thing to know as a believer? God says, "I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee," no matter who abandons us, no matter who disowns us, no matter who will turn their back on us. God says, "I will never leave thee. I will never fail thee. I will never forsake thee." Jacob received these wonderful promises. But you know, before Jacob could actually enjoy these promises, something had to happen in his life. Verse 13, we read this, "Behold, the Lord stood above it," this is the ladder, "and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father." Abraham was his grandfather. And God says, "I'm your grandfather's God." He says, "I am the God of Isaac. I'm the God of your father Isaac." But up until this point, God was not the God of Jacob. I wonder, is God speaking to someone specifically here this afternoon? You can look back to your old grandfather or grandmother and how they loved the Savior. You can look back to a father and a mother who loved the Savior, but you still don't know their Savior. Yes, he's the God of your grandfather. He's the God of your father, but he's not your God this afternoon. That's where we find Jacob. And God said to Jacob, "I can make you a blessing. I can be someone who'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll be with you every step of the way." But before he could enjoy these promises, he had to know God as his own and personal Savior. What a blessing you could be. What a blessing you could be in your home. What a blessing you could be in the community. What a blessing you could be with perhaps your children or your grandchildren or your brothers or sisters or your mum or dad. What a blessing you could be if you would only enjoy this turning point. Experience this turning point, where you would turn from your sin and turn to Christ by faith and accept him as your Savior. Let me say a little bit about Jacob's journey here very quickly. I want you to step into Jacob's shoes. He leaves home. He has stopped at this place, which is called Bethel. It simply means the house of God. And you know, you're in the presence of God here this afternoon. Jacob should have been grateful. He had a lot to be thankful for. He had a grandfather who was saved. He had a father who was saved. He had a mum and dad who prayed for him. He would have been taught the things of God, and yet he still didn't know the Lord. Again, maybe you're stepping into Jacob's shoes this afternoon, and that's just exactly where you are. You have a lot to be grateful for. You have a lot to be thankful for, to have someone in your home that prays for you, that witnesses to you, that loves you so much, that want you to know Christ as your Savior. How thankful, how grateful you should be. But you know, Jacob also was plagued with guilt. He knew he was a sinner. Indeed, when you read the scripture, you discover he was a sinner. Remember how he tricked his father. He lied to his father. His father asked him on one occasion, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Esau." And you remember he put the animals hair on his hands, and he tricked his old father, whose eyes were dim and he could not see. And he made a fool of his dad. He had tricked his father. He had hoodwinked his brother. Oh, there's no doubt that Jacob was a sinner. He was a sinner in the sight of a holy God. I wonder, have you got to that point yet? He was grateful, but he was a sinner, and he was plagued with guilt. You know, there was grief here as well in the heart of Jacob. He had just left home. He had come from home, and there had been a huge row at the home. He had to leave home. Sin had caused havoc in his home. I wonder about your home this afternoon. Is sin tearing it apart? Has sin caused havoc in your home? Has sin caused heartbreak and tears in your home? Has sin caused hardship in your life? And maybe you're just like Jacob as we gather here this afternoon. Yes, you should be grateful for those who love you in the Lord, but you're plagued with guilt because of your sin. And there's grief here because of home. There's grief because of hatred. You know, Esau, we read in Genesis 27, hated Jacob. There was hatred in the family because of sin. And this is where we find you as we come to Bethel here this afternoon. We find there was trouble in the home. We find there was hatred. We find things are hopeless here. I wonder, did Jacob feel that God was finished with him? Did Jacob feel that he had blown it? There was no way back. Did he feel, I have gone too far, I have lied, I have cheated, I have been dishonest, I have caused all sorts of problems in my home, and I'm away from home, and surely God wouldn't want anything to do with me. Is that how you feel here this afternoon? Things look so hopeless. Things look so horrible. Verse 11 tells us, he laid it upon a certain place and tarried there all night. It was pitch black, it was dark. And whilst it was physically dark, perhaps that too was a picture of where he was spiritually. Everything was in darkness. There seemed no light at the end of the tunnel. Everything seemed so hopeless and so horrible. And this is where we find Jacob. And you know what he did? I'm sure you noticed it in the reading. And of course, the children will know it from their Sunday school days. He makes that pillow of stone. And he puts his head upon the pillow of stone. Oh, what a hard, hard night it must have been. And I wonder, have you been brought through many hard and difficult experiences? I wonder, have you lost sleep at night? I wonder, has your pillow, and it may be a soft one, it may be a comfortable one, but it's become a difficult one for you. The sleep has been taken from you. God has been working in your heart. Maybe you've been at these meetings over and over again, and God's taken the very sleep from you at night, and it's as if you're lying on a bed of stone. That's how Jacob felt. And I want you to get into Jacob's shoes here this afternoon. Jacob should have been grateful. Jacob was plagued with guilt. Jacob knew real grief. But you know, there are some things that Jacob is going to grasp here that I want you to grasp this afternoon. Verse 12 tells us he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Listen to this. And the top of it reached to heaven. You know what Jacob discovered? There's a heaven. He discovered that heaven is real. He discovered that this old world is not all there is. There is something after death. There is a heaven. It's real. Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is as real as Rathfrieland. This is what Jacob's learning. Do you know there's a real place called heaven? A place that no doubt you will want to be in someday. And as Jacob puts his head on the stony pillow, as he begins to dream, he discovers this ladder that reaches from the earth right up to heaven. He discovers there is a heaven. He discovers there is hope. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. He could say there was a way to get to heaven. There was a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. He realized that yes, there is a heaven, but here's something even better. There is hope. There is a way for him one day to be in God's heaven. Have you realized that yet? Have you realized in this hopeless world, you only find hope in Christ? Have you realized in this hell-bound world where many are on their loss, on their journey that's taken them to hell, you can have hope and you can be heaven-bound? Jacob's discovering this. I wonder if you entered into Jacob's shoes. You know, here's Jacob in verse number 11. Here's what it says. And I've called this the ground. He laid it upon a certain place and tarried there all night. I want you to think of him lying on his back. Sometimes God has to put us on our back before we begin to look up. Maybe you've been in hospital. Maybe you've been visiting in hospital. Maybe you've seen someone lying on their back and you started to think about eternity. Maybe you've been on your back just a breath from eternity and God has been speaking to you. This is how he's speaking to old Jacob. As Jacob lies on his back, he begins to look up. Has God had to put you on your back to get you to look up? Have you hit rock bottom? And sometimes it's only when we hit rock bottom that we begin to think about God. And here's old Jacob. He's at rock bottom. He realizes there is a God, there is a heaven, there is hope. I wonder, will you do what Jacob is going to do? Will you seize this opportunity? You know, as I think about Jacob's dreams, and I'm sure you know what it is to dream. I was with my son the other day and he's moving house and he told me about some of the pipes had been leaking in his home. You know last night what I dreamt about? I dreamt about my mother's house and the pipes were leaking and the place was flooding. And I know it was all mixed up, but very often your own experiences worked out in your dreams some way. I believe old Jacob must have been thinking about heaven. He must have been thinking about hell. He must have been thinking about God. And God has begun to work in his heart. I wonder, is that true of you? As you sit in the vehicle here this afternoon, nobody else knows this, but you know all about it. You know that you've been thinking recently. You've been thinking about heaven. You've been thinking about hell. You've been thinking about the future. You've been thinking about sin. And God has been speaking to you. I believe God was speaking to Jacob and it came out in this dream. And I believe God could be speaking to you here this afternoon. Nobody knew about this, only Jacob. He was all alone. And there's not another person in this car park knows exactly what you're going through, but God's speaking to you. And God's reaching out to you this afternoon. You see Jacob on a journey. Maybe you're on this journey. And God has brought you to your Bethel here in Rephaelim this afternoon. You see the special stairway. You know the story well. He dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up in the earth. The top of it reached to heaven. And the angels of God ascending and descending on it. You know, God speaks to Jacob in the very place where he was. This ladder came to the very spot where Jacob was. And Christ saying to you this afternoon, you don't have to join anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay anything. Old, crooked, deceiving Jacob. God comes to him just where he is. And says, here is a way for you to get to heaven. Here is a way for you to find forgiveness of sins. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The Lord is coming to you here in Rephaelim this afternoon, just where you are. Here's a ladder. Here's a way for you, just the very place where you are. You can be saved this afternoon. And God's meeting you where you are. You see the picture. What does this ladder represent? Is it a church? No. Is it religion? No. Is it good works? No. Is it clean living? Is it money? Is it being a Protestant or a Catholic or whatever you happen to be? Is any of these things important? What is this ladder? What does this ladder represent? Who does it represent? We don't have to guess. You see the angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. You know, when we come in to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said this, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending, where? Upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is that ladder. That's what Jacob saw. He saw Christ, and Christ is the gateway to heaven. He's the only one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you see the place? Do you see the picture? Here's the plainness of it. That ladder touched earth. Jesus Christ was fully human. That ladder touched heaven. Jesus Christ was fully divine. He was God. He was man. Between God and man, there was a great gap. Jesus Christ alone can bridge that gap. He is the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins, he became that bridge, that ladder, that possibility for you who are still in your sin, one day to be in God's heaven, but you have to come by Christ. And you have to accept Christ as your Savior. How is Christ able to be that ladder? Because of Calvary. Because on that cross, the just for the unjust, we're told that he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Think of this stairway. It's an easy way. It's the only way. It's a sure way. It goes the whole way. It's a free way. There's no cost whatsoever. It's God's way. It's the only way. Do you see Jacob? He's concerned about dying. He's concerned about heaven. He's concerned about eternity. Jesus Christ has come and he is the answer. Will you take hold of Christ? Will you recognize this is the only way? This is the sure way. It goes the whole way. From earth to heaven. I'm sure you've heard the story before about the man who wanted to go to the nightclub in London. It was called the Gates of Hell. What a name. And he asked a policeman direction. He said, there's a church over there. It's called the Church of Calvary. You need to go past Calvary and you'll get to the Gates of Hell. Are you going to walk past Calvary and go to a Christless hell? Or will you be like Jacob? Will you stop and see Christ as your Savior? You see Jacob's journey. You see a special stairway. You see a precious place. We read that Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place. This became a special place. Here's what we read in Genesis 28 verse 21. Jacob said, So that I may come to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord, listen to this carefully, then shall the Lord be my God. Remember, he was the God of his grandfather. He was the God of his father. Now Jacob says, He's my God. He's my God. Jacob, by faith, was saved. He saw the ladder. And he took hold of Christ by faith. And he was as sure as heaven, as if he was already there. Will you do that this afternoon? This became a turning point. Bethel, the house of God. This could be your Bethel here at this co-op yard in Rathfrieland. It could become a special place. It could become a sacred place. A sanctified place, just like Calvary itself, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. Do you see Jacob's journey here this afternoon? Do you see the turning point? Jacob had been concerned about these things. The Lord was speaking to him. The Lord revealed Christ to him. And now Jacob can call God, my God. What about you? Has God been speaking to you? Remember what we said in verse 11. You know, it was night, it was dark. It said that the sun had set. Everything around him was blackness. When we come to verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep. You know, the new day had come. And I know it's physical, but let me apply it spiritually. Jacob came to Bethel in darkness. And now the darkness has lifted. And the light is there. What a change. It's a new day. He's a new man. He knows new life. He has found the one who is the light of the world. And you know, Jacob, his life was changed. You know, Jacob was known as someone who wanted to get everything for himself. Here's what we read in verse 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. He's now talking about giving to God. The getter became a giver. You know, if Jacob had have known some of our hymns, he would have been singing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. What a change for Jacob. It was a turning point in his life. Will you come and find Christ and leave here this afternoon as a new man, a new woman, a new person, new in Christ with new life? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, the war is ongoing in Ukraine. The Ukrainian foreign minister, Dmytro Kubile, said last week of the Germans decided that they would give them some weapons, would give them more support. And the foreign minister in Ukraine said, this is a big turning point. This is a big turning point. Time will tell if it is really a turning point. But I can say, without any doubt at all, that day that Jacob came to Bethel, his life was never the same after it. And God became his God. And everything changed for him. And I can say to you, if you come to Christ this afternoon, things will never be the same again. You'll have a peace with God. You'll have a home in heaven. Your sins can be forgiven if you'll just come as a sinner to Jesus. Will you come? Will today be a turning point for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for old Jacob and for the example. And Lord, we just pray that someone in this car park will see Christ as that ladder. The one who reaches down to earth. The one who can take us to heaven. The one, the only one who is that mediator between God and man. And Lord, as we see our sinfulness, Lord, will we realize that it's only the sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ, can be our Savior. And just like Jacob was able to call him my God, I pray that someone here will be able to talk about my Savior and my Lord. Lord, would you grant the saving grace? Pray again, Lord, that someone would take Christ as their Savior this afternoon. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.